Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Honorable Discharge is brought to you by Dysfunctional Veterans Radio. Find Dysfunctional Veterans Radio on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Stream more slutty dysfunctional veteran content by heading down to www.patreon.com/DV Radio. That's www.patreon.com/DV Radio. Subscribe and get access to all the media and entertainment made for veterans by veterans. You can also download DV podcasts from Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Help the DV mission by donating to the DV Farm at www.dvfarm.org. That's www.dvfarm.org. If you want to donate to DV Farm as your charity of choice, you can do that through www.smile.amazon.com. Select the DV Farm as your charity of choice, and a portion of your sale directly benefit our fellow veterans that need a hand up.
3, 2, 1.
Yes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, fuck yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Dysfunctional Veterans Radio. Honorable Discharge, that's the name of this podcast. I'm your man, Ron Ripley. I'm here with a full Studio 395. Bunch of sexy, slutty motherfuckers going to lay down some chuckles for you. I'm here with T.D. Cunningham, Mr. Derek, Mr. Damien. You guys, introduce yourselves. Tell us all about you. Damien, go.
What up? I'm Damien Pruitt, a regular La Jolla Comedy Store. Glad to be back.
Yeah. Derek?
What up? This is Derek Xavier Cohen. Actually, I'm a San Diego comic. I've been doing this comedy thing, I guess, for a while now, but it kind of stopped for a minute, but now I'm kind of getting back into everything, so you're I'm kind of reintroducing myself.
You're getting re-lubed?
That's right.
Fuck yeah. And then our brand new regular co-host, Mr. T.D. Cunningham.
How's it going?
Fuck.
Doing all right here,
it's fantastic,
man.
To be here, boys. Anyone want a little... This episode of Honorable Discharge awesome. Is going to be impromptuly brought to you by... What the fuck is the name of that?
Screwball
peanut butter whiskey. I swear to fuck, tastes like drinking a goddamn salted caramel donut. That's the show. Thank you guys for joining us. No, I'm kidding. Wow,
this is tasty.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's really good.
Thanks. I didn't make it at
all.
Thank you. Has nothing to do with me.
I mean, of course, my high blood pressure might go up.
Oh, it's definitely. I mean, with a salted rim, you can't fuck up. You absolutely can. Well, it's a beautiful day in San Diego, you guys.
It's a glass full of whiskey. You can almost only fuck up. If you drink enough, I'm going to end up in tears yelling at my wife, "You weren't there!"
Well, Derek, you came today, impromptu guest. Damien, you're always hanging around, lurking in the background. Cunningham, you were just in L.A.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Great. Amazing, actually. Met a bunch of really good comedians, so we're setting up we got the shows coming. I'm producing a few fundraisers for Lunch Fix, and we've got a bunch coming with the Vet TV thing. It looks like that's green lit, so we're finding... I got to talk to a lot of good comedians.
But you did your first set at
the Hollywood
there, right? Comedy Store, everybody. First time. Yeah. All right. Don't give him too much love, you guys. Jesus.
I rolled up with Maximilian Manikoff, and he was like, "Man, you're a lucky motherfucker, so you're definitely going to get picked for the open mic." I was like, "No, I won't."
First on the list.
Yeah, that was a rough set, dude. The first one, that's what's hard about it.
How many minutes did you get?
So you get three, but there's no warm-up. So, of course, there's 150 people out front, so I don't think I'm going to go up. So I don't really have – I know kind of what I'm going to do. I got my 3 minutes, but then when I'm up and they're like, "Hey, you're going up," I'm like, "Oh, okay." Start thinking of my 3 minutes as I'm like, "Hey, you got to go in. So I walk in, sit down, guy's about to go up, the host, and I'm thinking, all right, I got a good 3 to 5 minutes. He's going to do an opener. He's going to do his set. Absolutely nothing. He's just like, basically, hey, so coming up right now is the person who's got the worst spot of the evening, T.D. Cunningham. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it is just a bunch of jaded L.A. comedians, and I'm telling jokes about, like, my family and stuff, which I go pretty dark, but they don't know me, so they are just look at me, and they're just like, oh, the fucking guy's gonna talk about,
especially at that point in the night. Yeah, it's a lot of comics that you're performing for. It's like the only chuckles you might get in the back are.
I've gone up there like at 6:10 or something, and there's just nothing but comics in the back. Yep. Just right, your head's down. Right,
and I got right. That was the good thing, is I got some laughs. Like as soon as I got up there, I was like, oh, I know exactly. This is a fucking like a shooting. I'm gonna get shot here. And then it was just like, I was actually starting to get some laughs from the comedians, so I was like, all right, I'm telling jaded LA comedians who don't know me jokes about my family, and I'm getting laughs. So it made me feel that those jokes are at least, they were good. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing was new to me, so I kind of burnt like 40 seconds. I didn't do my full 3 minutes because I didn't have something to start when the light came on. I didn't want to run it. I'd rather go out early than run it.
Derek, you're an older store guy from way back in the day?
Oh, man. No. I've never worked there.
I've been thrown out a lot.
No, actually, oh, Lord, here we go. No, I've actually started at the store. This is like back in like 2001. Specifically, April 24th of 2001. This was, of course, a long time ago. I was still in the military at the time, but I'd never worked there. I was just a part of the open mic crew, you know, trying to get to y'all level, you know.
Wow.
But I mean, I've never.
I'm glad you didn't put too much into it.
That's right.
But so what's that like when you're trying to, TD, I know you can fucking totally relate, but like, what's that like trying to be active duty military while trying to tell dick jokes till 2 a.m? I mean, you got to do push-ups at 4. So, I mean, there's a precious window of angry sleep there, I imagine, I mean, what's that like?
Well, first off, you're restricted. You know, you can't say a lot of jokes you can't say anything about the president. You can't say anything about, right, you know, about elected officials. I got a little small story behind it, but that's another time.
Fucking Hillary to get any one of us on her radar because of your jokes, dude.
Trust me. I honestly stayed completely away from politics. I realized if you stay away from politics, you'd be all right. And I mean, kind of do self-deprecating. Stay away from the military. Don't talk about the military until you get out, really.
Yeah, I understood.
Sounds pretty safe.
Well, I didn't care, to be frank.
So
with
the
you.
Funny
I mean,
thing about my chief.
The time is what's hard. Is as you start doing it for a few years, it feels a little easier because you'll get a little slack in the comedy community. They'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, you can come up at 8, or they'll work around you. But that first year when no one knows you and no one gives a fuck about you, and you also have money to eat, so they're like, fuck this guy, like,
yeah, it's proven ground,
they don't
for sure
want you. So that's when you're sleeping 3-4, and it's not, you think, oh, this will just be a few weeks, like, it is 1 to 2 years of right in the fucking dick.
Yeah.
And nobody wants nothing to do with you, and it's just, that's the hard part, is you got no friends anywhere. Like, work doesn't like it, comedy doesn't like you, nobody, you're just...
You guys are lucky. I mean, until this podcast, like, it's never affected your careers or anything like that. So.
Well, hold on now.
I've been living behind 7-Eleven for 3 years.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, man. What was your story about? Did you ever get in trouble on stage talking about the military?
No, well,
or?
It was just one time that I had my supervisor. I invited him out to my show. It was one time. And I was talking about the president at the time.
Who was the president?
It was Bush,
man.
You know,
junior or senior? You got some gray in your
2009.
Beard.
2009. It was 2009.
It was the
right?
Burning Bush. What are you talking? But no, actually, all I said was I don't want to say the actual joke because I actually don't even remember anymore. But I just all I remember was that he said, all right, we need to talk the next morning. And so I was like, okay, I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And next thing you know, there was this big report sheet right in front of me. He was like, hey, you signed this here.
Yo,
and
he
I was
like, you
well,
up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't in
what
like
was
a big
rank?
Article. I was E5. I was a historic E5 at the time.
Navy or Marines?
Navy.
So
I was in storekeeper.
And he's a
second,
chief?
I was a second class.
And
you know?
Fuck up.
No, he didn't write me up as in far as like bring me up the NJP charges,
yeah,
but
yeah.
He gave me a counseling chip.
Yeah, yeah.
You
he
know?
Counseled your ass. Jesus.
And so I was like, well, God dang, I mean, I can't invite you out to my shows. I mean, this is what I really feel, you know? And then after that, the next day, I start talking about his ass on my routine. I told you, I didn't care. You know, I was somewhat ruthless. I didn't care.
Tell the listeners a little bit about your Navy background. Like, how long were you in? Where were you stationed and all that? You can introduce yourself to the people.
Yeah, what duty station did you get written up at?
I was my first
like where'd you join out of?
I joined out of Atlanta.
Okay.
I joined out of Atlanta, Atlanta, Georgia, at specifically Lithonia. And the date that I signed up was September 11th of 1998. So that's you know, that's like, oh boy, that's
Did they
that's
have a MEPS
the
there in Lithonia, you know? Or did you go to MEPS in
Yeah, where's
Yeah.
No. The MEPS was down. I don't remember.
I thought it was in Atlanta.
It is in Atlanta. I just don't remember. Well, I don't remember if it was downtown or on the outskirts. Somewhere. Okay.
I'm pretty sure September 11th, 1998 is a completely worthless date. There's nothing attached. I mean, September 11th, 2001.
But if you
my name's just a Wednesday.
Well, you could put stock in that date.
Well, I mean, DMX did drop an album. No,
the reason that I mention that, I say that is because every time I say, oh, I joined the Navy in September 11th of 98, they're like, oh, what a date. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I just joined that date.
My,
you know what I mean?
My first day of boot camp, I was just pulling people out of the towers, dog. Fucking idiots.
Walked over from Lackland and pulled me
on the towers. That's a goddamn tragedy right there. Like, it was like 8 years before, dude. So how long were you stationed at your first station? Like
I was here in San Diego. I was on the USS Fitzgerald, as a matter of fact, from December 29th, 1998 until February 3rd of 2003.
You're like the Rain Man of dates right now. Jesus. As a matter of fact.
What do you, I mean, did you have to live on the ship?
Heck yeah. At that time, that's what we had to do. We had to live
in San Diego. You lived
on the ship.
Yeah.
In San Diego?
In prison on the water.
Everyone had to live
Diego.
On the ship, you know, and you had to be right back at 12 o'clock.
Fuck that. I'm getting married. I don't give a fuck. I'm getting married.
I don't even know this lady.
We're
getting
married.
A bunch of E3s was getting married mysteriously all of a sudden.
Damn right.
I never, I knew people that did that. They just like got married to live off base. And you ever feel like on a ship? Well, I mean, that makes fucking sense. But I mean, like, I was stationed in Hawaii the first time I ever got stationed off base. They were just like, you know, the dorms are full and you can go.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, that's cool. And they're like, we're going to give you like $1,200.
It's Air Force.
Yeah, you need to find a place in Honolulu. And I was like, go on. You know? So I got this fucking, I got a bomb ass fucking condo. It was just in one of the sky rises out in Aiea. And like, dude, you walk right out on the Lanai in fucking Pearl Harbor. The memorial is right there at 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Just
you look over to the
there.
Left, you can see Diamond Head, and you're like, this is fucking awesome. And then like 2 days later, I went to Iraq.
But
I didn't even know that you could, like, I was like, sweet, I got an apartment. Who's going to watch my apartment? I didn't know that, like, you could break orders, break your lease orders.
Yeah. But let them know so you can pocket the
exactly.
DH.
Exactly.
You were paying for your apartment?
The whole fucking time, dude. I got back from Iraq. My fucking dickhead army brother, my biological brother who was in the army, he was stationed in Hawaii. And I was like, yeah, man, when I went from Germany, I was like, I want to go to Hawaii because my brother's there and I want to connect with my family. And then they sent me to Iraq. While I was in Iraq, he got divorced.
And just lived in your
place. And just squatted at my fucking place.
And he knew. He didn't even tell you. That's why
He did not fucking tell me. And then I get back.
He knew. He got free rent.
I got back from fucking war, dude, in this place that I scrubbed. Because I knew. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm coming back from fucking war. I'm going to want to sleep for a month and not do shit. I get home. And my brother picks me up at the airport. He's in a fucking suit. It's Hawaii. Like we're in the mafia or something. Hey, welcome home. Arrested. I'm like, what the fuck,
dude? I gotta go to court for DUI.
Exactly.
It's in your car.
Like, on the way back to my place, he's like, so, yeah, the wife and I are done. And I've been living at your place for a while. And by that time, I'm like, yo, dude, I've been traveling for 7 days. I'm gonna punch you in 8. like, fucking, I just need a minute to get over this. And, I go in. The fucking sink is full of dishes. The place isn't clean. And I'm like, I'll kill all of you.
Oh, no.
Every single fucking person in this building. Yeah, it was shitty. I don't know. You guys ever have anything like anyone ever school your deployment assets?
No. I mean, I know ship sucks. Ship's fucking horrible, and I would do whatever I could to get off
ship. Can
you
do comedy on a ship?
Yeah, I've done a band, comedy, all types of stuff. I mean, you definitely can do comedy if you want.
That sounds awful.
It wouldn't be good.
So what's the deal with aircraft carrier food?
And then they scream general quarters over the one of them.
Because then you got to get off of the... What I used to do is... So one thing I'm actually known for in recon is...
Being gay?
I was on ship and I was stealing all the spoons and throwing them overboard when we were out on the Mew for like a good 9 months.
Why the fuck would you do that?
Because like after a few weeks, people are eating looking to cause trouble with like forks and getting in fights
that
and shit like that.
That is pretty funny.
So I actually got written up. I got a counseling for it for general mayhem because like my platoon sergeant opened up a ISU and because I was doing it so much, it became like obsessive. I'd have pockets full of spoons, so I didn't know what.
That's
just
fucking weird,
overboard.
Dude.
Well, and then they were trying to find out what had happened to the spoons. The whole ship, they're having all these meetings about it, and he just opens up this quad con and like a waterfall of spoons falls on him, and he's like, he didn't even ask. He was like, Cunningham, get into my fucking office right now. He knew exactly.
Yeah, we're gonna need to talk about it.
You can get a what's the name of the charge that it was?
Mayhem. Mayhem. Yeah, it was. He put General Mayhem in the counseling.
How do you even get that?
No, I didn't get a charge. He just counseled me and told me to stop doing.
Like
I didn't.
Article
stop doing
15
it.
Is just like general dereliction of duty. Yeah, or something like that. But like, it's like mayhem.
No, this is bad. That was bad. Like,
that's
fucking Article 98-6.
Dude, people were like fighting in the. You'd see someone eating cereal with a fork, and their whole day is just ruined. Like getting into fights in the chow hall instead of the galley. And I'm
sometimes you just need that one thing. Me, it was Pop Tarts.
Yeah.
I needed every morning I go to the chow hall, I get my usual shit breakfast, but I fucking. I'd steal every Pop Tart I could.
Where were we
and then I would just eat them out on fucking duty.
Where are you stationed? You don't mind me asking.
No, that's classified. No, I was. Basic in Lackland. Then I went to tech school in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Just before Hurricane Katrina hit, like a year before. And then while Katrina happened, my first duty station was Spangdahlem Air Force Base. And it's like this little farm, podunk cow town in Germany, like on the France-Luxembourg border. It's fucking
sweet.
Sounds
horrible.
They got
in Hawaii.
Dude,
God, I don't know.
I know. Like, they got like A-10 Warthogs at that base, which is so cool.
I fucking love Warthogs.
I was a civil engineer, and so like we'd go around and like we'd have to like fix hangar doors and stuff.
They're
and, like,
decommissioning those.
No. They I think they just reapproved them, man. I think they're going to be around for like another decade.
Dude, those
you
things,
can't get rid of that.
Those things are
like they won't get rid of
beautiful.
The fucking canteen, but they want to axe the A-10 Warthog. Like they like every fucking troop on deployment now is rocking a Camelback or a flask, you know, like they're not sipping those fucking basic training canteens. This isn't Vietnam. We don't need that shit. We've invented
they only use
the Camelback.
They keep them for gas masks so you can drink with your mask on. That's why they use the canteen still. Yeah, because it's got that.
There should be a Radio Land out there. If you can come up with an attachment for your Camelback that goes into your gas mask, Ron Ripley gets 1% forever.
Dude, I have a friend. He works for a company that
most people do.
No, he works for a company that it's with the military. So right now we do underwater drone stuff. That's the military unit I'm in.
That's pretty slutty.
But he works for them as a contractor, and he developed basically while at work an entire new way to do to transport these drones on the back of smaller boats. Now he had developed it. Because he was going to sell the concept. It's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Would have changed his life. But because he developed it while he was on basically working there, they just took it. Didn't know him anything. Legally couldn't pay him anything. Took his patent. And now it's all over. It's hundreds of millions of dollars.
And that's why he killed himself.
They got it for free. No, he was just like, fuck. fuck, man. Dude. Because he didn't know. He had no idea. Patent law apparently is, someone was telling me about it. He was one of the guys telling me about it. But apparently patent law is actually a really hard
area of law? Pursue.
Yeah, because you have to also be like an engineer and a lawyer. So you got to go to law school, and then you can't just be
know
like
how
a rich
things
kid.
Are
yeah,
built.
You got to know how to develop a, you know, a fucking widget for a jet engine or something.
Well, that's pretty clever.
But yeah, you just got burned. Got burned by that.
Shifting gears, what's the funniest internet video you guys have seen this week? Anything slutty? Anything sexy?
This morning when the cops are trying to get that guy that's wanted for
you guys see
three counts of murder, and he's running around naked, and the cop is running away afraid of him. And the naked dude actually runs up and chokes a dude at one point, and the cop still didn't do anything.
It's like a 60-year-old fucking donut cop, and it's in Virginia. It's
well,
like
the backstory is this guy is suspected of killing this minor league baseball player's wife, mother-in-law, and some other person that was related to this guy. He's a minor league pitcher
right there.
And yeah,
was
guys,
it in Florida?
It was in the South, wasn't Florida.
It
though.
Was Virginia. Yeah, so and just where I saw the video, they were like, Virginia man leads police on nude chase, and I'm like, all right, you got my interest, okay? You know, so I click on it, and then immediately it's like it's a cop holding, you know, an AR platform type rifle. Like chasing a naked man, and like the naked, I'm like, all right, he's naked, but the naked guy's like running at the cop, and the cop isn't like doing anything. Like, where's your taser? So there is no taser. I mean, it's a naked man. I understand the cop doesn't want to like use excessive force.
Yeah.
But you don't have a taser. The naked person's, I mean, you're running at a cop. Like the cop is winded to the point where like you can see like they try to like call it in, and then the next thing you know, their radio is just dangling. Mm-hmm. And so cop starts chasing the naked guy around. Naked guy evades cop and goes over. Somebody's just there, like they run over to a parking lot. It's like a grassy field next to like some kind of shopping complex or something. So the guy runs from the field, grabs just this random old man, 7-year-old man, trying to get into his car, starts choking him out. I'm like, cool. Now he's assaulting a civilian. You have every right to fucking shoot this guy. I mean, I know he's naked, but like, you're 10 feet away with an AR. Like, you can't shoot him in the fucking ass and disable this nut job. Like, he's running around nude. Plug him in the ass. Detain him.
Just shoot him
in the ass.
You don't even need that much. You just shoot him as soon as he's... You're like, hey. And he was like, what's up? Be like, pow, motherfucker.
But, I mean, that's the funny thing. It's like
yeah,
this
he just
naked
ran
man
up to this
ran
guy,
at...
up to this guy in his truck. He's just getting his truck. This older guy getting his truck. The guy just got, literally had
Dude,
his hands around
in
his neck.
Virginia, no one shot a naked man.
So this was
thing,
the funniest video you've seen? What's
I
the
haven't,
yeah,
admittingly,
yeah,
I,
pretty funny.
Admittingly, I mean, I was
also, all over the place this morning.
I was editing our video today, so I was like looking at pictures of reduced lung capacities.
Yeah.
And so I saw a lot of really tragic pictures of lungs. So easily, naked man, funniest thing I've seen online all day.
I don't really watch online video. Like, I'm not a YouTube kind of.
I don't
video
do YouTube.
Guy.
I mean, I just scroll through the old
technically
book face.
Chappelle's special is released on Netflix, so that's an internet video. I'd say that's the funniest
Everyone's
thing I've seen.
Freaking
all day.
The fuck. Have you boys seen it?
I'm at the part where the phone rang.
Oh yeah,
show me that. That was
good,
funny.
Dude.
Yeah.
Let me tell you
that's
how
so
genius.
Fucking good.
I'm gonna tell you how genius Chappelle is as far as his marketing with this. Anyone ever seen any kind of advertisement on YouTube as far as his first special just happened? Any advertising?
Mm-hmm.
Any advertisement? Any? None?
None.
I've never seen no
That's
advertising
interesting.
You don't have
of
to.
This.
It's Chappelle, man.
No, well,
well, I mean, who's
going to
give him a bump? Johnson & Johnson?
It's not only David Chappelle, but it's his material. You know, he knows that the material that
I like
he's going to say.
David.
Mr. David to you,
that's
asshole.
Right. Mr. Chappelle. Right? Chappelle.
No, that's fucking interesting, man. If you because
you know,
if his material won't, like, what sponsor will want to touch a comic even in an hour special where he may be talking about, like, hey, man, it's an outrage culture, transphobe. Like, that's such a. Yeah, that's interesting.
And not only that, but see. He knows that the media is gonna advertise him too because everyone, the media is all over like
Dave Chappelle
social...
doesn't need Burger King.
Well, you understand what I'm saying. You
totally.
Know, they know the media is they're all about controversial. You know what I mean? Oh, what did David Chappelle just say? So he's gonna get that advertising, you know, from the media.
I think
you
the biggest corporation that'll win off that is certainly Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But
I mean, they had to do was send out an email of what's coming up, and that's what Netflix usually does, like upcoming this month. Chappelle, and all they got to do is say that. It just has to be said, and everyone's – or even not said, you just turn on Netflix. Everyone's going to turn it on every day.
I'm not boycotting it by any means, but, like, everyone's talking – have you seen it? Have you seen it? Some people are like, it fucking sucks. It's repetitive.
No,
other people are like, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. But me, I'm just like, nope, I'm not – I don't – I haven't seen it yet.
It's
I don't
so
know that
far
I'll,
from sucks. I can see people getting offended by it if they don't listen to the jokes.
This is America. People get offended by it, by their own fucking
but
reflection.
Saying it sucks, that's a motherfucker who doesn't know what they're talking. That's just somebody being a contrarian. That it was by no means like some of the George Carlin stuff that you see in his later, when he was doing, pumping them out one every year, and you'd see a few of his specials and be like, ah, come on, George. Like, it wasn't like this was Dave at top of his game, his next one.
Where would you rate it as far as like Dave Chappelle? Like, is it his greatest work?
No.
I didn't see it all.
I mean, Equanimity and all that stuff. Those, the ones that he released right after he got out, and the two. I mean, technically it was four, but those are better. But I mean, he had more time. He developed this again on those ones. He had like almost a decade to develop, thinking of jokes, hitting around, writing, doing his. I mean, this one was developed in an 18 to 24 month period. It's good though. It's really good. It's great.
Well, the thing is like undisputably, Chappelle is one of the best comics to touch the mic.
Yeah.
In my generation, hands down. And the thing is, it's like, from having a carpentry and builder background, like, I understand the level of journeyman, craftsman, apprentice, master, like the difference between all those all those classifications. And an apprentice is somebody that's just like learning to clean tools, so they learn what tools are, and that's your open mic comic.
Yeah.
Is Dave Chappelle is a fucking master. He's fucking Norm Abrams of comedy.
Yeah.
Like, this guy can build a shaker shelf out of a fucking shitty ass punchline because he's just that good. That comes from spending decades working on this. And so it's just, I was interested to see, like, is it his best work? Is it like, is it his
opus? It's not his worst. It's not even close to it. But you can tell he's not hanging his hat on this.
Do you think
one.
He's
this
got more?
Oh, yeah. This isn't his, he's not retiring on this. Oh. No, I think actually one of the best ones he did was when he hit the road with him and Jon Stewart. So him and Jon Stewart did
their theater shows.
Yeah, they did theater shows, basically a lot of political stuff.
I think I missed that.
And that was a really good. You had to see it live. I don't know if they did any specials of it.
Yeah.
But CNN did a bunch of interviews with both of them. I mean, it was really good. That was probably some of his best stuff. But it was more political.
Boom, in your face. Derek, name your top three comics. Go.
Chris Rock.
Mm.
Chris Rock is one. Cat Williams is another one. And Alonzo Bowden. Those are my top favorites.
Dude, you like Latino comedy a lot. it's solid.
We just had Alonzo Bowden. You should have hit us up. We would have got you in.
He was around recently.
Yeah. What
a, 2 months ago.
Shout out Alonzo.
What about comics who aren't like...
Like
big,
goats
yeah,
or
yeah, not goat,
well, I
like,
mean, these are the guys that are still here, that are still born, but my ultimate favorites.
I mean like not your older the ones that are just like you would see on a Thursday night at, in ACC or something. You would see still touring around. Some like the ones coming up. The ones that are going to be the next.
Gerard's or Jamar's or people like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like Derek Poston, Brian Simpson.
Well, Poston is, he's still really low. I would say like D'Elia is one that's like about to break as a actor.
Oh, no, I'm like, talking about lower than D'Elia. Like, but yeah, D'Elia.
I mean, D'Elia's at primetime shows on NBC.
He has. Yeah. I mean, and he's wildly popular.
Shang Wang's
sell out.
One of my favorites, dude.
Shang Wang, yeah.
Oh,
my I actually, God. I mean, if you say Poston, I would say Asan.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Asan, he's going to, I really like his humor. I like both of them. They're both really cool.
Did you see Poston was hosting Joe Rogan?
Fucking Joe Rogan's show.
Dude,
to see somebody that just go out on stage at like one of the most famous comedy clubs and introduce like one of the most famous comics on the planet. You're like, God damn you.
So when we went up, Max,
congratulations, you fuck. You fuck.
Max and I went up there and Max stayed. He crashed at Derek's house. And the next day, which was yesterday, he stayed for that show and he was sitting next to Joey Diaz, Joe Rogan, like talking with Christy Dela, like all of them.
Dude, see, you did your first time at the store, man. Did you go to Sacred Ground?
What do you mean?
Ah, there it is. You wouldn't say what do you mean if you'd been to Sacred Ground.
You'd have to tell
it's,
that.
It's the place where all the comedians go at the Comedy Store to be away. Like it's the smoking section where no cameras are allowed and stuff like that. So
you
after,
gotta be passed or
you gotta be passed or employee. But
I
it's,
wouldn't even ask.
Oh my god!
Where's the application? How could I sign?
I wouldn't even ask to do that.
I mean, honestly, the shit that's probably happened in Sacred Ground, to my understanding, is highly like it's easily more like intense, insane, more prolific.
You remember that lady fell
than
out
anything that's
right
happened on
me?
Those stages.
So, the lady fell out right in front of me.
Yeah. When we were there for Mitzi's shebang.
My thing is this: if you got so anytime you go up there, you can get on the open mic, right? Mm-hmm. Why don't you just go up every Monday?
Oh yeah, because I got so much fucking gas money.
I'm just saying.
I just got gas money falling out of my pockets, and also I've also got no.
Would it be allowed if you just showed up?
Yeah.
At 650 every Monday, and you did the open mic every week.
I don't see why.
I don't know about 650, but you can call. I've called on my way up before.
And been like,
as employees, we're supposed to call up and just say, "Hey, we're coming up." And
they wouldn't care if you went there every week.
I don't think so because they have enough stages, and I can't confirm that, but I feel like they have enough stages that they could put us somewhere with on you know just you know they because
no they don't put us in the OR.
Yeah,
yeah, they
would
be.
Give it, if they couldn't get us on the mic, they would give us a friends and family
friends
spot.
Friends and family spot.
Oh, man. Nine. Dude, yeah. See that. If
they'll
I,
make the drive worth it.
That's
is,
why
is the
I would
want
to work at the stores because I would go every fucking Monday straight up. I would leave work
I mean, it's
at
amazing.
Noon and drive. I wouldn't give a fuck.
I go up to Hollywood probably once every 3-4 months.
I'd go up 4 times a month.
Yeah, some of us go up every at least once or twice a month.
I mean, that'd be. I would love to do that. Yeah. Yeah,
four
yeah.
times a fucking month oh. I'd go. Hey, next time I'll bring you next time if you guys are gone.
For me, my thing is school, dude. Just started school again. I'm one of those veterans using the old Voc rehab.
Gotta be
GI
a
bill.
Monday. You can
I dropped out
there.
Years ago, so
see,
I'd be
I, it's
go.
Not a matter. Of, it's not a matter of Mondays for me. My first class is at 9 a.m. on Tuesdays, which isn't awful, but I have to be at campus by 7:30 just so I don't have to play parking fuck games.
You're actually going to school.
Yeah.
You fucking nerd.
Well, I'm going to be something, not just a Marine.
Just do. You're getting scammed, bro. It's computer stuff. That's all on the. They'll just give you a degree.
I know, but you know what? It's funny because I've been thinking on this recently. I had three reasons to move to California. From the East Coast, because I used to.
Marijuana was one of them.
Marijuana was one of them.
Fucking loser.
Hey, man, if you're good, I mean, go to where it's happening, okay? So weed was one of them. I just didn't want to be, you know, have people in my life that they open up the door to my garage and they go, stinks like pot in here, Ron. Fuck those people. Get the fuck out of my life. Yeah. Okay? That was one thing. So that
it
was California.
It stinks like pot in your garage, Ron.
Get the fuck out of here. No. But then college was another reason I wanted to get educated here because if you're anywhere in the United States and you and this is even true overseas. For some reasons, like if you go overseas right now, I don't know why, but people don't like Americans. But if you say you're from California, that's a blank slate. They're like, ooh, California. That's fucking going back to Cali.
Same thing about New York City, though.
Same shit.
Yeah,
and
New York and probably California. The place is really, if you say you're from Iowa, like, get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. But being educated in California is, it gives other people a big old fucking wide on. Like, if I wanted to go work in Chicago, like, ooh, San Diego, blah, 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 blah. It gets me in the door a little bit more than anybody else.
And what was the third reason?
Third
weed
one
again?
Was VA care.
I thought it'd be weed again.
I mean, you know, close
I
fourth.
I forgot the first reason.
Close
reason
fourth. But the VA care, I just, you know, after hearing things, you know, like hearing stories about guys trying to drive 4 hours to get to a clinic to get, you know, their therapy and stuff like that, I was like, oof, you know, if I'm going to relocate, you know, that's not a hill I'm trying to die on.
More active duty military Americans are in San Diego than anywhere else in the world. Not even including veterans
in California?
In San Diego, California has more actual serving military than anywhere else on the planet. And that's not even just veterans and all that. That's why this is a big Navy's big.
What
man.
If you count all the people in Hiroshima?
I mean, they don't. There's
I mean,
no active duty Hiroshima.
That was a bad atom bomb joke. I mean,
but it didn't. It was bad because it didn't make sense, and it's too soon. Honestly,
really,
I mean, it's only almost like 100 years.
Too soon, bro.
Too soon.
Sorry. So here's my thoughts on internment camps. Oh, we like to have a good time.
Yeah, but I was thinking that as I was driving back, I was like, God damn, dude, if I could get a job at the store, I would be there every fucking Monday.
You know that no one that does any hiring at the store listens to
this. I know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, that's what I wanted to ask you when I got here was, like, is that the case? Can you go up every Monday?
And I'm sure people have. I've just never done it. If you know, like, once I get out of school, fuck yeah. I mean, once I don't have to worry about final exams and bullshit like that, then it's full on comedy. But for the time being, it's I went to Iraq, man. I got it. Yeah. You know, I did a lot of bullshit to get this paper, and I'm just happy I'm going to graduate because of my, you know, with my GI Bill and my voc rehab. Like, I will graduate and be debt free. I won't be another American that's like buried in college debt.
Yeah.
And I can, again, being debt free means I can pursue comedy and get paid with a salad. You know, at the end of the night, and it doesn't fucking break me, which is why a lot of people give up. You know, it's why there's like, you know, open micers, they'll mic for 2 years and then they'll realize like, okay, this is a hobby, but I got to give it to the cubicle because fucking rent is due.
Yeah.
And then they bail.
And then there's a lot of people who have that support and then they don't give up and they really fucking should have.
That's another rub.
You're like, damn.
All it takes is one little encouragement, nice set, or I like that bitch you're doing, to keep him going for another 6 months or years.
Well, because comedy's so ego driven. Yeah. Everything, like, and I've never experienced anything more true to that. It's just, you know, it's you're performing, you're in front of people, and when you can make, you know, a dark room full of people laugh, and you have them, and you do kill it.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than heroin. You know, like, it's like, oh my God, give me 10 more minutes. Give me 10 more minutes. And the funny thing is, you can't bomb. Well, you can bomb on heroin.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
but it's like, if you ask to go up for another 5 minutes, or like, yeah, man, if I needed 10 minutes, maybe that 5 was your perfect, you know? If you did 10, you would have fucking lost them at 7, and they would have wanted to fucking lynch you by 8 or 9. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, for whatever reason, when it's right in the moment, you know, and it has so much to do with dynamic. It has everything to do with the crowd that's in the room. Have they liked the jokes that they've heard? Is the music good? Are they hungry? Are they cold? You know, like, you're really trying to manipulate people into getting them to laugh at what you find funny.
I've been writing and like looking at the actual process of writing, and I found out, like, personally, instead of trying to write something that's funny, I think of things that either piss me off or embarrass me. Like, something that in my initial reaction is like, oh, I shouldn't say that to anyone else. Then I'm like, yep, that's a joke. That's going to be...
It's usually how I, with my wife, things, like, if I run it, like, honey, what do you think about this? She's like, please don't say that on stage. I'm like, it's going in the act. If it's in the act now.
If it's embarrassing for me to say or it makes me angry, that's usually a topic where I'm going to make a joke. But just trying to be like, well, that's funny. Cats are funny. Cats shaved heads.
What about you guys? What's a premise that you guys have? Have you guys ever been so committed to a premise? Like, I love the idea of this joke. And everyone else is like, get rid of that. But you're like, no, you don't get it.
I'll admit it.
Everyone can admit it.
Well, I threw it away. I'll admit it.
What was it?
I'm not gonna tell. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you my joke on here. Yeah, sure.
I'll do it. Fuck it. I just brought it back last week and it bombed again after years. I got this idea. It was funny where I say I'm a semi-professional tap dancer, and I say it's real easy to be good at something that 98% of the country's never tried. And if you put 20 minutes a day into it, you're better than, like, you're the top 2% of all the tap dancers in America.
How is that? That bombs?
Yeah, people don't get it. Yeah, I'm like, fuck.
I've seen it happen. I actually kind of think
it's a good
funny
premise.
Thanks, man.
But it's like, if you're sitting there in the audience, you're like, I don't tap. How does a black guy tap dance? It's funny because one of the most famous tap dancers on the planet is that black guy.
Gregory Isaacs.
Savion Glover.
Not Gregory. Who was the guy?
Gregory Hines.
Yeah, I was going to say Isaac. I was like, no.
See, all of a sudden we're all fucking tap dancing experts.
Gregory Hines was one of my favorite actors growing up, man. I loved him.
He did the Billy Crystal
him
movie.
Him and Billy Crystal. Yeah, they did a lot together.
I remember when he was
Slickers?
What was it?
No, they did
one. I said Slickers.
They were like a
cop. They're cops in Chicago.
I fucking loved it.
It's like the last case or something.
Oh my God.
Violence.
I don't think I've seen that. I cannot imagine Billy Crystal as a cop.
Yeah, it was a really good movie. Yeah.
I'd be like, I got caught by this guy? Get the fuck out of here.
I had a premise that I actually was told wouldn't be good, and it kills. It's one of my, it's my gossip joke about like where I say, I don't, my friend thinks, told me he's a man's man, and I'm not. I'm not into things that men are traditionally into, like football and tobacco. You know, I'm into gossip, and then I go into a gossip, and it fucking kills every time, and I knew it would. And the, I got told like four times by different people, like, don't do that joke. It's not going to work. I'm telling you, it's hack. And I fucking did it. And every time I was like, I fucking knew it. But there hasn't been one. Almost every one that I and I feel like it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I look at it and I'm like, this isn't going to work. Then it goes out and I almost think like it probably would work if I had confidence in it. Or it never works the first time, and then I just throw it out anyway. Like, I don't really have...
You gotta have confidence, Morty. It's all about confidence.
I don't have anything that I'm like, I've been like, this is gonna work, and then get out there and be like, oh, that's dog shit. I gotta throw it out. Do you?
I love my Lego jokes, but they, you know, they're like, because I love Legos, but like... You know, no matter how clever I think they are, like, some people are like, eh. Sometimes, like, I get, they're punny.
Yeah.
You know, like, the whole, I have a premise that, like, I built, I made a sex doll out of Legos, you know, and people freak out about stepping on them. Who wants to put their dick in them, you know? But I have a pegging fetish, you know, and unless you're familiar with Legos, that pegging line might not make sense. And so sometimes, you know, you might lose them there. But, you know, the idea, the joke goes on, it's like, yeah, you know, the problem was that this Lego sex doll liked to fuck, and I couldn't keep up with it. You know, it was overwhelming. And so I had to actually build a second Lego sex doll to fuck the first one. And I'm not overwhelmed anymore. It's actually a really rewarding experience watching all of these pieces of my sex life finally come together. That's like eight puns, like right there. Like,
I can see that.
And as much as I love that, like, it tickles me. I hear that joke. Yeah. I'm like,
don't do that joke.
Yeah, don't do that joke. Fucking get rid of it. Get rid of it. So, and I think that was one that I told for like a long time. And I've dropped it from my act. I don't think I've told that one in a long time. I think I brought it back like a couple weeks ago when I just felt like that the crowd was like into shitty puns like that.
How long is your act now?
I can confidently say I have 30. Yeah. 20 of them are okay. 10 of them are good.
Yeah, like, so you got a 30-minute you could do?
Yeah, probably. And probably 20 of it could be clean. I mean, honestly, it's like Barkeep Bingo is a 5-minute joke. I can do 10 minutes on shitting on my wife. The military in itself is like, I mean, depending on who I'm talking to, I know I've got a solid tight five on military alone. Those three tight fives are 15 right there.
Yeah.
And if I just expand on them, like, yeah, I mean, I can, you know, that's bringing Legos, bringing traveling, you know, like, it depends on like where you're at. Like, you can get away with so much, but I mean, what about you? Where do you think you're?
I did.
How big's your dick?
I did 25 when we taped that thing for Vet TV.
And how'd you feel? Like,
felt great. There was still some newer stuff I put in there that I've kind of rounded out the edges. I could do.
Wouldn't that be funny if your shittiest shit made the video and you're just like, God, yeah, damn.
I could do 30. I feel like I feel good at 15. I've been doing 15 confidently, easily, like back to back 15-minute sets. All day.
All good?
Yeah, it's like the 15-minute ones is that's pretty much once I hit that. I've got 15 like memorized, ready to. I wouldn't even need to throw anything in. But the difference is with me, I don't change anything. Like the room, I could give a flying fuck about who's there. I don't care. I don't read the room. They're getting what they get. And then it literally will be like a minute into it. I'll be like, oh, you didn't laugh at that. Well, the next fucking 14 minutes are going to be pretty painful. And it hasn't hurt me yet. It hasn't.
That's funny. I used to know somebody. They had this quote. They told me, they're like, comedy is like raping somebody. It's not about how much what they want. It's about how much you're going to give them and how much you're going to make them take. And I was like, okay, that's like the worst fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
Who told you
that?
I don't know. I forget, actually. I think it was out in Lou's office. I overheard that in conversation.
I don't do it like that.
But I want to say that's very dangerous.
Albert Lee. Yeah, yeah.
That's very dangerous. That's a very dangerous thing, and I want to get back to that. But, Derek, where did you land? Like, what's the long – like, how long could you be on – can you be on stage? And you're just like, after – X amount of minutes, I'm like, all right, we're in new territory.
Yeah. 20.
20?
20.
20 is a good spot?
Yeah, about a good 20 right now.
Yeah?
You know.
Yeah. Damien, what about you?
I haven't done half an hour for a couple of years, so I probably could do like 35. I'd say 37 now with the newer stuff coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 40.
I mean, so I feel like that's pretty accurate. TD, I got to say, not giving a fuck who's in the room, that's fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like, you're there for the room. Like, your material doesn't matter. You're there for the room.
I agree. Okay.
Know, it's like, if they're all a bunch of 50-year-old people and I go in there and I start talking about Coachella.
Oh, well,
and then I say, get ready, you're in for 20 more minutes. Well, no, that's, you know, that, people will be asking for their money back.
The room, yeah. No, I know the room. Before I'm going into there, I do my research. I know what kind of crowd I'm getting into. And when, the only thing I'll change up is when I walk in, I know, I'm like, oh, I don't look at the room and be like, oh, this or these people are this color or this age. I just look and I'd be like, how many? All right, there's a lot of people here. I'm not going to try a bunch of new shit.
I'm sizing them up to see what they want. Like, you know, like, because Damien will go on. Anytime Damien goes on before me, he's got a joke about being in the Air Force for like a cup of coffee, basically. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen it not get laughs. And if people don't laugh at that, I'm like, yeah, no, I mean, I have seen it not get laughs. And when I see that not get laughs, I'll scrap my military shit because I just feel like, all right, they're not responding to military stuff. So I'll talk about relationships instead. Mm-hmm. You know, the holidays are coming up, so I'll tell all my holiday jokes or something like that. So you try to, I mean, not giving a fuck. Like, dude, if Jerry Seinfeld's in the room, that's when I'd be like, all right, I don't give a fuck about that. Like, I'm going to throw down and do my thing anyway, whether Jerry's in the room or not. But as far as the people who paid to see me, I want to make sure that they get their fucking money's worth.
It's hard to explain because it comes across differently than what it actually is, what I actually do. But I don't concentrate. Like, essentially, I know what I'm going to do. And every time every time I've walked into a room and looked at the room and been like made a judgment, it's always been worse. It's always been if I was just like, hey, you know what the fuck you're doing. You had it. You had everything to set up exactly how you wanted. Your set was exactly how it should have been. That was your best stuff, paced the way it should have been. It would have worked there. It'll work anywhere. Trust it. But when I walk into a room and I look and I'm like, oh shit, these guys aren't going to like this. All right, I got to switch. And then 10 minutes before I'm switching stuff and it just doesn't hit. And it's kind of like this thing, like, it's not, I don't just walk into a room and I'm like, fuck it, I got this. I'm just that good. I've done so much preparation, put so much work into my set that it works. It works on old people, works with women, works with black crowds, works with Mexicans, works with white people, works all in a young, old, and I just work that set. And now I'm at the point where I'm like working my set and trying to add more on.
Do you try to be clean more than anything
else? Yes, that'll be where I'll change up, is where I start being clean. Because sometimes people don't want to hear clean. Sometimes fuck is the punchline in a dad joke. When you tell a dad joke and you drop an F-bomb in it, it gets the 20-year-olds laughing other times. But other than that, I'm trying to try to be as clean as possible.
No, it's harder to... I'm not sounding like I'm trying like I'm an old school comic or nothing like that, but I've always heard that it's that you always start off clean first.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then
move from there.
Move to dirty, you know, because it's hard to transition from dirty to clean, you know.
Yeah.
It's
just same with energy too. If you go in like, then
you have to keep that up for the entirety of it.
Yeah. That's why I always try to go and then do spikes. Like, I'll go in a little low and then spike and then come back down, like a kind of spike. And then,
I think eventually it'll get to the point where it's just, and again, once you get to that 30-year level of mastery, like what the greats have, like they can read a room. They can just, I mean, I've tried not to plan out my sets too much. I know my jokes. And I think that's what you're getting at. It's like, I don't care who's in the room. I got to get up there, and I'm gonna do my set because I know it works.
But then again, you know, you have like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But see, you got some audience members that know if you're a comic legend, like 30 years into the game, the audience members, they already know who you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They know your material. They already
half
know
of their laughing is that they are in the same room with you.
39. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Just think about it too, is like, if the audience knew comedy, they'd be doing comedy. That's the other time, is you're kind of switching up your shit that you know for who? Who the fuck are these people?
My, I want to say...
They're not even here to see me. I love They're just here by accident.
The people I love performing for the most are the people that come up to you afterwards and say, I can never do that. Yeah. I can never do that. Because for them... You know that they had such a good time that they're being reflective on themselves to say, like, I wish, like, I connected with something much tonight. I wish I could emulate that to some degree.
And sometimes I'm not talking.
Sometimes that's like a encouragement. You after you had a bad set too.
Oh,
I could never do that, yo. But keep going.
I would have fucking killed myself after 5 minutes, bro. But you fucking stuck with it.
Yeah, I could never do that.
I mean, I don't mean it to shit on the crowd, but that person who's saying that, that kind of proves my point. It's like they're saying they can never do it. They recognize they can never do it. So why are you going to switch your act up for what they would like? They don't really even know what they would like. They're going to hear it and laugh because, like, oh, shit, that's action. Or your shit's just not good. Like, sometimes my shit isn't good enough.
For a fireman, like, I would never run into burning buildings to save people. I'm not that kind of hero.
You'd be back at the hose,
right?
Up
I'd be like, air pressure in the tires.
Do you think when he goes to?
But like for that one person, that one fireman, that professional fucking fireman, the guy on all the calendars, you know, he's climbing up the ladder. Don't you think when he gets to that window, you know, and that beautiful fucking person is all like, "Oh, thank you for saving me. Take this kid." Don't you think that fireman appreciates a little bit of the?
No,
I appreciate it. You're in danger.
What up?
And you just wanted to give me, like, I'll save your kid.
What
here.
I'm
come
saying
here,
is,
yeah, come
you
here.
Think the fireman looks at the fire and sees what's going on and then goes and sees the people inside and he's like, what would those people want me to do in the fire? He's like, fuck those people. They don't exist.
I think the
this
fireman
is the
sees
fire.
The
this
fire.
This is how I get it.
The fireman sees the fire and he's wondering how good the barbecue is going to be later because he's a fucking fireman.
But no, he's like, that's my job. How do I attack it? That's how I'm going to get it. He doesn't care what the crowd or the people seeing it or the people inside he's saving are
actually.
He's
here to save lives, dog.
He's just here to knock fires out.
That's interesting. That's I mean, I don't know. What about you, Damien? What are you like,
horrible how I say it.
What's the meanest fuck you ever give to the audience? You ever just show them your wiener or what? Have you ever been rude to the audience? Have you ever been like, "You know what? Fuck you guys?"
I never have either. I never am.
I have.
Sometimes that might work though.
I'll just leave, say thank you.
Oh, I've never left the stage.
No, I won't leave.
Ever.
I'm saying when my time's done, I'll leave and just be like, thank you.
No, I've never had I've lost my shit on a lady once, but it's Winston's, so there's like only like five people in there anyway. And I was like, just wait till the next comic comes up, because I figured he would give her shit, because he always gives a heckler shit, and he did.
Who was it?
Bob Hansen, who's an old single comic. Yeah. Bob's going to give her shit, and Bob's like, well, I can't. You're the fourth of the audience. Like, God damn it, Bob.
Oh, man. I had this one. I had a rich lady heckling me once, and she was like on a date, just her and her man in the front row. She's all plastic surgeried out, and this guy's as big as a fucking house. And she just won't shut the fuck up because she's like two wines and eight Xanax deep, you know. And so she's just mouthy as fuck. And I forget it was like for like 3 minutes. I'm just dealing with them. I'm like, all right, now you got my attention. And she just fucking looks up at me, and she's like, I fucking hate your jokes. I just look at her. I'm like, I love your tits. What do you want? Fucking get the fuck out of here. Her man just starts laughing. I'm like, oh, God, I thought that guy was going to rush me. But that ended up well.
That reminds me, what was the story of you almost throwing some dude out of the Comedy Store with his...
Oh, we had a fucking...
What happened? Yeah, I'm nosy. What happened?
Oh, this is a fun story.
You like gossip too?
Yeah. Damien, you right there. I'll set the mood. Fucking... All right. So... This fucking guy, he's in the showroom, and he's, like, texting throughout the whole performance, and I guess the performer noted it, and it just kept happening. Three door guys come up and say, hey, the fuck, dude, turn off your phone or take it to the lobby. So he does. He goes out to the lobby, sends his text. This guy is wearing, like, a sport coat and khaki shorts, and they aren't Crocs, but they're Croc-esque. You know, and he's got a fucking, he's got a scarf on, right? Like John Lennon glasses and a fucking.
Like a weird, something weird tied into his hair.
Yeah, like a weird ass ponytail.
Sunglasses.
I mean, like there's a million jokes about what this guy fucking looked like, but retarded is definitely the punchline, you know? And so he's out there and he's texting And then he starts asking, like, why the hell can't I text in the showroom? And people are like, hey, you can't text in the showroom because there's a performance going on and blah, 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 blah. Mm. Then he starts going over to the bar and he starts nagging Mikey and the managers and stuff about, you know, like, hey, can't be doing that, blah, blah, blah. Well, why did they throw me out? Why did they throw me out? I can't do this. I can't do that. And they're like, hey, we got a full fucking bar here, man. We got, you know, we're serving people. Like, I'll tell you what, you want to complain? You can write down whatever you want. Come up to us after the show. We'll give you all the contact information you need. But we're fucking busy and you can't text in the showroom. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. So he goes and he sits down in the lobby, fucking angry, texting. Then he starts raising his voice. And I'm on point. So I look over. I'm like, hey, keep your voice down. Mm-hmm. Then he's mad that I just told him to keep his fucking voice down. He mm-hmm. starts going over to the bar saying like, ah, you know what? Do you know who I am? Playing that fucking card. Turns out he's telling everyone at the bar
Italian.
He's the owner of Dos Equis Beer, and I am one of Donald Trump's kid's godfathers. Do you know the fuck? I will buy this bar. I will buy the comedy store. I will have you all. Fuck you. Fuck you. In the meantime, like, all right, now all the securities around were like, get the fuck out of here. So then.
Well, I'm a poor person who took the bus and can exercise
control. He starts yelling at Matt. Matt, the bearded door guy. Like, yeah. Matt's like telling, sir, shut up. Shut up and get the fuck out of here. The managers are like, we'll comp him his drinks. Get him the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. He starts yelling at Matt. Are you even educated? Do you have a GED? I went to Harvard. I'm like, Harvard, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up in Harvard Yard, asshole. Get the fuck out of here, right? And so, he's like screaming. He's all fucking pissed off. And then we're like, all right, that's it. We're getting him out of here. We're getting him the fuck out of here. And so I go over to him and we're like, get the fuck out of here. I'm in the guy's face saying, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. And he's like, oh, this is defamation of character. You guys, I've been assaulted here tonight. Like, no one's fucking touched you, dude. You're being an asshole. Why are you throwing me out? Because we've told you. You're being a disturbance. You're texting in the showroom. We're a business that can refuse service to anybody. We told you to get the hell out. Now you're like, well, now you make me leave. Now, are we opening that door, boss? And he's like, yeah, make me leave. And I'm just like, are you fucking serious? Is this the type of human being you are? And I can tell, like, the whole time, like, the guy just wants me to hit him so he can fucking sue the company or whatever. And it's just like, dude, get the fuck out of here. You're a piece of shit. You're just a piece of shit. And this is your racket and you're a turd. And then we've been telling you to get the fuck out. So get the fuck out. Matt starts dealing with him. I go get a broom. I come out, I'm like, motherfucker, I'm going to sweep you out of here like a fucking stray cat if you don't get the fuck out of here. And he's like, make me. I'm like, anybody behind the bar want to help? Anybody, any on my team here? Like, what are we doing here? What the fuck are we, can I use the fucking, his head to open the door on the fucking way out of here? Yeah, and he's like, you make me leave. And I'm like, all right, here's what's going to happen. I'm not going to do this, but we're going to call the cops. They're going to come here. I want you to call the cops. No, we're going to call the cops. I want you to call the cops. It's happening. He's calling them right fucking now. Oh, well, good. When they get here, sir, you're going to replay this fucking video that you've been filming the whole time, and they're going to put you in cuffs and leave. Or, big or here, you can just fucking leave. What was I doing wrong? Back to this. Harvard, you whip out the cell phone in the middle of Hamilton, asshole. Like, what the fuck is your problem? Get the fuck out of here. And finally, it takes his fucking friends to come out. And he was sitting on this chair, and it wasn't until I was like, all right, cool, that's it. Matt, grab the other side of this chair. We're fucking moving this guy. We pick up the chair. We get it maybe an inch off the ground. And all of a sudden, this guy can move. Hey! What the hell? And we're just shooing him. I'm like poking him with the broom. Go to the door, kitty cat. Get the fuck out of here, stray pussy. And then he's screaming at people from the outside. And it was literally like a half hour fucking ordeal. And there's still somebody who's boss as fuck trying to perform on stage, killing the room. And this guy's out here, I'll own this comedy store. I'll own it and get the fuck out. So yeah, I was like, that was the closest I've ever been to just be like, holy shit. Holy shit. I'm going to fucking hit this dude. I want like.
Who was on stage?
Sarah Tiana. But then he kept calling back.
Yeah. And that's the follow up to the story is he. So this is our thing is like we're all coming up with Yelp names now. So when they're like, what's your name? You know, Matt's always like, well, you know, I'm Steve. And what's your last name? I'm like, Areno, get the fuck out of here. You know, what's your name? My name's fucking Esteban. Fuck yourself. How about that? Put that in the Yelp review.
Billy Orm.
But so he's calling back like every fucking 10 minutes. saying like, I want to speak to a manager. I want to speak to, he doesn't realize that there's six employees in the building. He's going to be talking to one of us. So at one point, even Matt, who doesn't, he's not a comedian. He's just a security guy. He starts doing bits on the guy. Every time he answers the phone, it's with a different voice. Hello, this is Sage. How can I help you today? Hello, this is Pablito. You know, like, fuck it. And the guy, like, he called back for a good solid couple hours. And then Mikey was eventually like, look, dude, we're done here. We're done here. And so, I don't know, that's the kind of, on occasion, at a comedy club, you run into people who are not used to being told no, and then it's up to you to spend the next hour of your life fucking around with them.
That's sad.
It is sad.
Yeah. That's sad.
I mean, I'm no Damian Pruitt, D to the Pru I double T over here, man. This guy's been in fucking physical throwdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never actually had to hit a La Jolla.
Dude, we had something...
Hold on, I want to hear Damien's fucking riot.
excuse me. Yeah, the riot story that happened at the end of the show is the end of the weekend of the second show. This group has just been heckling the headliner the whole night, and he finally fucking addressed it like parties. As he got the light as he was doing his closing bit, and he's like, "Throw them out!" So I went to throw the guy out, and the guy's like, "Fuck you!" And I went to grab him, and some guy grabbed me, and then other door guys ran up, and it was. It's probably like a 20-person brawl or something like that.
God, like a pile-up, dude? Like that's like a small room.
Yeah. Or a rumble of an animal.
I was only like 3 months in or something like that. Just I've never seen anything close to that.
Dude, I had something at ACC.
How the fuck do you throw people
Thursday.
Out of the basement?
So that was it. This dude was like, he's like 6'3", 300 pounds, but like muscle. He's got like neck tats. And I could tell just by how he stands, because I fought a lot in my life, I could tell by his neck and how he stands, like, this guy can fight. And he's hammered, and he's downstairs, and his girlfriend puts her hand on this chair behind, and is like, oh, I'm sorry. And the people, I guess those two have been talking, the people that, they were like, no problem, but can you please stop talking during the show? She flips the fuck out. Everybody at ACC is just like, all right, time to go, like, and they cut this guy a check, and eventually he wants to fight that girl's boyfriend
naturally,
so I kind of talk him down, like, hey, let's go out. And we go past the first door, and he's like, I'm finishing his drink. He's like, no one's telling me I can't finish my drink. I'm like, no, you can finish your drink, man. I'm not gonna tell. And then he's like, I'm gonna go back in there. And I'm like, no, you're not. He's like, you're not gonna stop me. I'm gonna go in there, I'm gonna start hitting him until the police get down. He's like, I can kill him. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, dude, don't do that. Like, and all I'm thinking is, it's just me. There's no one, no everybody else that works there.
Well, I mean, you had Kent Bradley.
No one is going to help. There, I was like, all that's going to happen is this dude is going to be smashing it, and I'll just be like on his back, choking him as he's like throwing me through tables, and I'll just continue like hitting him with chairs, breaking glasses over his head, just to stall him enough. And it was like, this is going to be just me, and there's no one. Like, you guys have 15 people that'll run out. And it would just have
been... Oh, we don't.
It'd been me and maybe one other dude. It was rough. Like, everyone after was like, they were like, when it started getting loud, all of a sudden everyone was gone. All of a sudden people had shit to go do in the kitchen. Got to go clean. So, oh, that's that grease trap they want me to clean. And I'm like, yo, and it's just me. And I mean, I don't give a fuck.
We are pretty responsive.
Like,
I mean,
fuck you up.
We're pretty responsive, but again, like, there's no place in that room. You know, it's not like ACC where it's like a rectangle where, like, if someone in the back is causing shit, no one in the front will see it. Fucking, if we have to throw somebody out, everyone will see it, and it will stop the show.
But I'm like, I got to use weapons on this motherfucker, and he's got to go up a flight and a half of stairs. Like, there's nothing I can do with this.
See, like, you're downtown, and, like, out here it's La Jolla, so it literally is, like, that rich guy that's like, go on, hit me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a fucking asshole until you hit me, and it's like, oh, man, I love working. I'd love to break your jaw, though.
Yeah, see, Sandy, like, downtown's different because some of those dudes are like,
oh, you got tweakers. Yeah, and you crazy don't want to.
Like, you're
there.
Like, come on, please, I'm not like.
Like, come on, man. Like, and that's why, like, this guy was in my. I'm like, and I know he's recording me, so I'm just like, really, dude, this is your thing. You're Donald Trump's godson, and you go around harassing.
What if you just snatched his phone out of his hand?
Once you lay hands on somebody, you've assaulted them, not vice versa. But it, like, on the other hand, if you're like, yo, excuse me, sir, I need you to leave, and then he grabs your shoulder, now that's assault. you what can protect yourself.
What if he's got his phone and you just take the phone out of his hand, throw it outside, be like, "You'll go get your phone, I'm sure." And then throw their phone out.
Slippery slope, but I mean, you know, it's one of those things. Like, it's, you know, we're a comic, you know, and that's the thing too. It's like, and I try to explain this to him, like, we're not having fun. Like, I don't want to throw anybody out of a comedy club. I want you to sit in your fucking seat, get drunk, and laugh your dick off.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what you're here to do. That's what you wanted to do. This doesn't give me any joy by any fucking means. But then once you get to that level, like this guy, you could just see the fucking wheels turning, and it's just like, dude, you're fucking lame. This is why you're here tonight with father. No, like, you're not, like, where's your lover? Who loves you? Who do you fuck? Why aren't they here with you right now? Because you're unfuckable. You're a shitty, unfuckable human being.
Oh, he was by himself.
He was with a friend, and like,
what, was it a female?
It sucked. No. Dude. It was another? A dude. And what sucked is because he was there. He was visiting from out of town, so he was an asshole from out of town. Mm-hmm. But the dude he was there with was a regular, and you could see that the regular was just like, fucking embarrassed. Yeah. I am so embarrassed that I brought this person here. And so we're trying to give him all due respect, and the guy's never been anything but a good patron. And then this guy was like, "You got to get your fucking prick friend out of here, buddy." And that just sucks, man. It just, some people are dicks. But I don't want to end, because we got to wrap this up. I don't want to end on the shitty note. I think
Holocaust. Let's talk Holocaust.
I was gonna say Palestine. Okay. No, man. What's a good meme that you guys have seen? Because it's like a one-liner. What's your favorite meme that you've seen recently? It's a good one. We're all internet. I'll start it off. I saw one that was there's. There's like over 70 gender pronouns now, but bitch is universal. That made me chuckle.
Actually, my wife just sent me one. Let me look at it real quick.
I'm trying to sit in, find one right quick.
No, my wife sent me one the other day that was fucking hilarious. You guys can...
What was the one about ice? Ice? Oh, man, there was... Oh, yeah, if immigrants are such lazy people, why does ICE always raid job sites?
She said Eminem makes temper tantrum music for dudes who don't lift weights but want to join the Marine Corps. And I thought that was pretty good.
That's pandering. Your wife is pandering.
That is good.
No internet memes from you guys?
I'm kind of partial to the ones that I make myself and send to my friend Emily.
Yeah.
Shout out to M. Ellen.
Emily.
Emily Hope Allen.
What is one?
Yeah.
She saw this movie as a teenager that terrified her, so I'm always sending her screenshots. It's like these terrifying memes.
Lion King.
That would be funny. The Labyrinth.
There's a movie about this guy that like stabbed his wife. Like, then she like is like totally traumatized. So I'm always like sending her like screenshots from the stabbing. these terrifying memes.
Glad she's not terrified of Deliverance.
The picture I like too was Brandon Potter posting his getting kicked off a Grindr.
Yeah,
that was fucking hilarious. God, he is precious.
The only openly gay comic in San Diego, banned from Grindr. We're gonna get him on.
I fucking love him.
I think Brandon's gonna be. We need
dysfunctional.
Yeah,
veterans?
Man, I think he should be on honorable discharge because
is he a veteran?
No, but he's a gay vet. He's a veteran of the gay community.
Yeah, let's do it,
dude. It was one of the reasons I want to have him on. It was so funny watching
he's
Mikey.
Fucked veterans, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm and their husbands. Watching Mikey at the store explain, because Brandon had no idea that military dudes play gay chicken. He's like, "What's gay chicken?" And watching Mikey fucking explain it to him, his fucking head just about melted, dude.
It was
hilarious.
I was the gayest chicken.
I had no idea.
I always lost. I always let everyone be like, "We're gonna play gay chicken." Be like, "You win." I'd get the dicks out. I'd be like, "You win."
Here,
I guess I'm a chicken.
Have my lunch. I'm leaving. Do you ever play gay chicken, Derek?
Hell no, I ain't never heard of it.
Different man.
What?
It's different military.
I've never
He's
heard
black.
Of that.
Oh my god.
Black dudes in the military, different military than when
yeah,
we're
I don't.
Can
like,
you man. Explain gay chicken?
Yes.
Oh, dude, it's like, so if you and me sit across from each other and we both put our hands on each other's knees. I put my hand on your knee. You put your hand on my knee, and then we just slowly start moving towards the other's groin, and the first one to bail. First one to bail.
I mean, I've had cock in my hand.
So, hold on.
I've had cock in my hand.
I always thought it was kissing.
So, no.
You can do that, too. You can do kissing. You can do, like, I mean, gay chicken. I mean, it's gay chicken. You know, sometimes the cars are different. Sometimes the roads are different.
You understand chicken, where two cars drive towards each other, and then whoever pulls away at the first loses? All right, gay chicken is that same concept, except it's trying to slowly escalate gay behavior until one person says, no, that's too gay,
that's too gay for me,
and stops doing it.
Oh, right?
Wow. I would constantly stop immediately. Like, as soon as the key turned in the ignition, I'd be like, done, you win. Like,
and then you get to finger his butthole while you call him a homophobe.
I'm sorry, as soon as the key come out of the pocket.
Yeah, see?
Oh, my God. Well, I think we're going to end on gay chicken, you guys. I want to thank everyone for hanging out and joining us at Honorable Discharge, a show that you can only hear on Dysfunctional Veterans Radio. I'm here with T.D. Cunningham.
Hello.
I'm here with Derek. I'm here with Damien. I'm your man, Ron Ripley. You guys are slutty as fuck. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
Not all.